Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from the meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So, once again, it's talking about the seducing spirits and the hypocrisy that will be happening in the church and in different places where, you know, where the word's going to go out and people are going to try and use it for their own purposes, and there'll be false doctrines, or people who don't really study or read or don't really have a relationship with God are going to try and interpret it in their own way without the Holy Spirit interpreting it for them. So there's going to be false interpretations, there's going to be false doctrines, false teachings, and we all have to have our own, you know, true experience with God to have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is what everything's based on, so that we know what's right and what's wrong. So that if the Holy Spirit is guiding us, then we won't fall, as the scripture says, to every wind of doctrine, that we just be swayed with the wind or with the waves, and that we actually have a rudder, we have an anchor, and that we know what we're standing for. And saying through these things, people will have their consciences seared like with a hot iron. And to think of, you know, false doctrine as a hot iron and something that would be, you know, so damaging to a church and to a congregation and to a people who are really trying to live right. And then those false doctrines will be like a hot iron. There'll be people who, you know, maybe they don't know better, and there'll be a false teacher will tell them something. And the person, you know, believing them in faith will do that and have, you know, the real truth seared with a hot iron, and their conscience and their, you know, the honest experience that they could have would be seared with a hot iron. So that's why, more than anything, we need to make sure that we're right in our doctrine and in our teachings and our when we read the Bible, that we're sticking with the Bible and not going off of it and making up our own ideas, but we stick with the Bible and what it says, so that, you know, the truth and the benefits won't be seared off with the hot iron. As well as verse 3 saying, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So what's interesting to me is that, you know, whenever you see Paul or Mark or Matthew and different people in the Bible speaking of these false doctrines and false teachings and even the Pharisees and the way they've acted, they're speaking of things, and yet they're happening in that day, and yet those things are still happening. So when you see, of course, we know there's hypocrites in different churches, and we know that, like it's saying, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, and those aren't doctrinal things, but those are false doctrines that were spreading up, even when Paul and Timothy were alive and ministering the gospel, and some of those doctrines are still alive today. And even, you know, we know the way that the Pharisees, you know, even when they spoke to Jesus, and Jesus is talking about, you know, how his prophets and ministers in the past were tormented and persecuted, and the Pharisees are saying, well, we would never do that, and yet God is in front of them, and then they're doing the exact same thing, and they're persecuting him and criticizing him. And we know even today there's still people, you know, when they see the word, they have an adverse reaction to it, or they have a Holy Spirit, not a Holy Spirit, but a religious spirit, or a kind of like a self-righteous spirit when it comes to the word or the doctrine. And those spirits just continue to persist, even though, you know, 2,000 years ago and 2,000 years before that, but those same spirits are still in the church today. So those things are still relevant to teach about, and when you see those things. And it's like Brother Branham said, that spirits, you know, they don't go away. They just pass on to different generations, and they don't have to be you know, reproduced in that same way, but they keep going down each generation, and those spirits still persist, and there's always going to be someone, you know, who's going to embody those spirits. And there was Brother George Quinn, you know, of course, last time he was here, he preached for us, but I remember the time before that, something he preached on was that all scripture must be fulfilled. So all scripture must be fulfilled. So when you see something saying, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise first, or, you know, whosoever will believe, and, you know, all things are possible. And you see those scriptures, and we claim those scriptures as believers because we believe that's us, because we know that scripture must be fulfilled. We believe that those scriptures are about us. But there's also scriptures that say, you know, people will be lasciviousness, people will, you know, participate in vain lust, lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And there's always going to have, and that's also scripture. So if all scripture must be fulfilled, then there's going to be people who have to fulfill those scriptures as well. There's going to be people who have to get left behind when the rapture happens. There's going to be people who, you know, love themselves more than they love God. There's going to be people who are in the church, but they don't fully surrender. And those scriptures are going to be fulfilled as well. So just, it's really about knowing which scriptures you want to fulfill, and knowing what you want for your life. Because all scripture will be fulfilled, the good ones and the ones that, you know, don't seem so good. But it's up to you which scripture you want to fulfill. But all scripture will be fulfilled. So there will be people who have to suffer, and because they didn't listen to the word, they didn't fully surrender, they didn't, you know, really clean up their lives, they didn't really read the Bible like they should have, they didn't follow the words and really listen to the teachings the way they should have. So there's going to be, scripture will be fulfilled. And even the ones that sound, you know, that we don't want to be a part of. So we just need to know which scriptures we will fulfill. And verse 4, for every good creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word, and of God, and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And that's a big reason why we, you know, we pray over our food. And that's why when we talk about the story of the men who went into the furnace, you know, they would refuse to eat the meat because it had been blessed by, you know, or prayed over by from a different God. And that was a big reason why they didn't eat the meat, or I forget if it was meat or not, but it was whatever the food was that they were offering. They didn't want to eat it because, you know, it had been dedicated for a different purpose that they disagreed with. And they were like, no, we only have one God. And if we pray for our food, it's going to be to that God. It's not going to be to anything else or any other purpose. And Paul is here saying that, you know, that stuff is important, if, and how you receive a meal. And not just that, you know, you, oh, this is food and I eat it, but it's how you receive it and the reverence that you treat it with. And that's why they just couldn't, they something in them just couldn't agree with partaking in that meal, knowing that it had been dedicated or offered for a different purpose, and that was irreverent to the God that they worshipped. So they took a stand on that, and God honored that. But it's good to remember that, you know, that's why those things are important, because, you know, because those prayers and those prayers and efforts make a difference. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto ungodliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. So it's talking about, you know, refusing profane old wise fables and all those different, you know, like there's different stories and things that, you know, we can say, and maybe sometimes they can be for a lesson, but ultimately we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. You know, there's things that can be helpful, there's, you know, things that can motivate you and things that can boost you up. But ultimately what Paul's saying here is that what's first and foremost is exercising yourself unto godliness and putting that above all else. And you know, even with school and work and family life, and there's different things and priorities that come up and even hobbies we have, but ultimately what we should be exercising ourselves unto is godliness and in the word above all else. And as verse 10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. And there will be suffering, because he said that you have to suffer with him to reign with him. So when you're criticized or persecuted, or people look at you differently, or you know, they get upset with something, You know, it's okay because the Bible says all things will happen. And as we said, scripture must be fulfilled. So if God says that you'll be persecuted, there has to be a persecutor. So someone has to fulfill that scripture. If he says that, you know, you'll be looked at a certain way or people won't like you because of, you know, what you believe, that scripture must also be fulfilled. So just pray for people. Don't get too upset. You know, just know that someone has to fulfill that scripture and just pray that they come to revelation and they can fulfill, you know, a more edifying scripture. But just pray for those people and never get, you know, always know where you are. Always be centered as a Christian. Don't ever get, you know, too out there or too, you know, emotionally against someone. But as the Brother Branham said, you know, you just pray for those people. When you get upset at someone or maybe you disagree on something, you just pray for them. You don't get upset, you don't get angry, but you just pray for them and pray that they come to revelation. Or pray that, you know, if you're wrong, that God will show you. Because that can be the case too. But scripture must be fulfilled. So when, you know, when you look that funny or when you're made fun of or when people make fun of, you know, your God, just know that scripture must be fulfilled. And verse 11, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. So I did teach this last week with the upstairs, but you know, it's not just let no man despise thy youth. But as Paul's telling to Timothy, it's like don't give them a reason to be an example in the church. Rather than, you know, there's a certain grace applied where, you know, they say, you know, young people are, you know, getting their foot on the ground and they're trying to make their way in life and they're trying to figure out who they are and these different things and what they want to do. And, you know, there's going to be mistakes made. But also it's don't, you know, young people can be examples too in the church. And that's why he's calling Timothy, you know, the younger minister, he's trying to call him to the ministry and that he should, you know, he shouldn't, you know, let his age stop him from worshiping God or serving God in the way that he has, because as Paul is going to say later in the scripture that Timothy has a gift and Paul wants him to use that gift for the goodness of God and for God's kingdom. So, you know, for all of us here, it's like no one's too young, no one's too, you know, inexperienced, but it just takes a surrendered heart. It just takes someone who's willing to really, you know, believe with all their heart and do what the Bible says and read and truly study the word and understand what God has for you and what he can do for you and what you can do for him and to really have a relationship and really understand, you know. So it says, be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. So in all those things, we should all be examples, regardless of age, regardless of status, regardless of anything else. We should all be examples in those things. In verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And that's a wonderful scripture because, you know, it's a blessing to know that you are blessed, but it's just as much of a blessing to know that someone else was blessed through what you did and maybe through your experience, through your life. And this might be on the quiz or the test, but That story that Brother Branham put in Doors and Doors, where he's talking about the bear and how it got into his camp and it got into his honey, and then it goes back to its, you know, its siblings, and they're licking the honey off of him, and that they're getting a blessing based off what the bear got. So it's that same thing where, you know, if you're blessed, and as it says, if you, you know, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So if God's in you, you know, he's gonna show himself and it'll be a blessing to someone else just to see God in you. So that's really how it should be. If you get filled with the Spirit or you really get the Spirit on you, and it should be able to bless others. You have a real life experience and people can come to you and maybe ask questions about what you believe and you can answer honestly and you can answer because you've been studying that, and you've really been reading your Bible, and you've been listening to what Brother Branham said, and you and then when someone asks you a question or comes to you, you can really give them maybe a piece of advice or a piece of a scripture that you know you studied that was helpful for you, and you can save those that hear you as well as yourself through God. That's a huge blessing. And another thing that Brother Branham said in Doors and Doors is that he was talking about how, you know, different people would be so humbled to have a, you know, maybe the queen or the royalty or president or someone of high status to come to their dwelling and to realize that God is doing that same thing in our lives. And like Brother Ram says, like the painter, he said he painted the door without a handle on it because you on the inside have to let him in. And part of letting him in is that it will bless other people. It's not just for you, but it's more so to be a servant, because Jesus said the greatest among you will be your servant. So when you let him in, you know, it allows you to then open up your doors to everyone and try to help other people, you know, that they can see what's happened in your life. So, of course, we, you know, we think about ourselves first, but once you get saved and once you have an experience, you know, it makes it so much, there's a natural desire in you to help others and to share that with others, because if something's a truly valuable experience to you, you want to share that with others. And that's a big part of why you let him in your door, because then you can help others. And that's all I have for us today, so God bless you, you're dismissed.